Hey everyone, it's DJ Jazzy J here. And welcome to Tasty Time, where we pair our food with our mood on Penguin Radio. Here every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. So tune in for an hour while I bring you tasty and easy recipes, restaurant critiques, food substitutions, and much more. Every Thursday, we will have three main segments or dishes to discuss that might help the average cook do some great things in the kitchen. So first, we're going to start out every week with the question of the day. And they're all going to be food related since this is Tasty Time. So today's question of the day that's going to eager you to stay all the way to the next hour is: the skim milk cheese dates back to at least the 13th century. It may even date to the 11th century. It is made only from April 1st through November 11th, and each year with milk from cows that have been feeding on fresh pasture. Most of the cream is skimmed from the milk, which is then cooked in copper containers, pressed in cheesecloth-lined molds, salted in brine, and then allowed to mature. So the question is, name this cheese. So we'll get back to that at the end of the show before I leave you guys. But first, let's get right on to the first dish, the easy recipes with DJ Jazzy J. So the first recipe is Nonna's bruschetta. Now, my Nonna, and Nonna in Italian is grandmother. So my grandmother's bruschetta. So essentially, we're going to be breaking down two different recipes. They're going to be really quick and really easy recipes, so they don't take that much time at all. And for those people out there who believe they can't really cook, I disagree. Just take your time. It'll be okay. So Nonna's bruschetta starts out. So this recipe I came up with, this is my own personal recipe, so it's different than most normal bruschetta recipes. But I came up with it because of the show Throwdown with Bobby Flay, which I don't know if many of you are familiar with the cooking channel and the Food Network, but I'm an avid watcher of both of those networks, and I absolutely love the shows on both of those networks. So the show Throwdown with Bobby Flay, he usually goes and he meets with someone who's like really good at a certain type of dish. So in this case, my family came up with bruschetta. And what we did was my family and I, we went out to the market, the store, you know, and bought some stuff to throw down each other and see who would come up with the winning bruschetta dish. So my grandmother, my Italian grandmother, was the judge of that. And it was between my sister and my dad and then me. And I ended up winning, so this is the family recipe that we stuck with. And it can be served as an appetizer. It really just depends on who you're serving it to and when you want to serve it. It doesn't matter. Any time of day, it's delicious. So the ingredients. So you begin with tomatoes, black and green olives, basil, lemon, olive oil, garlic and garlic powder, either or, and salt and pepper to taste. And then usually you should get some kind of bread, so either French bread, focaccia bread, olive bread, or a prepackaged bread too. Sometimes they prepackage little tiny breads, and you can just slap some of the mixture onto that and call it a day, and that's really easy for you guys. So the assembly process on this kind of thing. So the first thing you do is you dice the tomatoes. And, I mean, it doesn't really matter what they look like because it's going to be fine. So you just cut the tomatoes, you dice them, that's the correct term. And then you dice the olives and the basil as well. And then you have to mince the rest of the ingredients. So mincing is another term for chop really fine, basically. It's just chop until it's really tiny into tiny pieces. So you're going to mince the garlic, and then you're going to cut the lemon in half and use the juice of a half a lemon. And then you're going to pour just enough olive oil to coat everything into one bowl. And salt and pepper to taste. So it's really kind of just you play around with the different items, the ingredients, and can come up with, you know, sometimes I might add more olives or more basil, just depending on what I'm feeling that day, you know? So that's pretty much done with your tomato mixture of the bruschetta. And then you have the breads. So either you buy the prepackaged kind, or you could make your own. So the way you make your own, it's pretty easy. You just buy like a French baguette or something like that from your local grocery store. And you just, since you already have some olive oil from the previous tomato mixture, you can use some of the olive oil that you bought for this recipe also to just put it on the bread, and then you can salt and pepper the bread also, and then you bake it in the oven for about 375 degrees for about, I would say, 5 to 10 minutes, just until it's golden brown. Obviously we don't want burnt bread. So you just get it till it's golden brown, and I put that it's supposed to be rustic, so you don't have to chop everything up that great, because bruschetta originally was just a bunch of tomatoes and basil and mozzarella cheese, kind of just those three ingredients with some really good quality olive oil put together. So I think it'll be okay. You just put that kind of stuff on the bread and then you eat it, and it's really, really tasty. So the second recipe, I call it Uncle Jim's fruit salad. And I mean, most of the time when I hear fruit salad, I'm like, oh, it's just fruit, and that's really sweet, and I'm more of a vegetable lover, you know. So when I heard fruit salad, I was like, oh, this is interesting. But this is a super good and super easy recipe to duplicate and to feed. I mean, it could be really gourmet, or it could be played down and be like really, really just like laid back and nonchalant about the recipe. So the ingredients include watermelon, a cantaloupe, honeydew, when they're in season, of course. You can't really make this dish when the fruits are not in season, because it won't taste the same. But so watermelon, cantaloupe, honeydew, and then pancetta. You could substitute for bacon, or the other way around, so you can use bacon. Plus it's like less expensive too, so if you're budgeting that as well, bacon is a lot cheaper than pancetta will ever be, because it's a deli meat. So the three different fruits, bacon or pancetta, and arugula, which for most of people out there, it's, if you don't know what it is, basically it's a lettuce, kind of. It's like a peppery lettuce. So that should be in your local grocery store as well. And then olive oil, salt, and pepper to taste. So the assembly process, you just dice the pancetta or the bacon, depending on which one you're using. And you cook until it's golden brown and in the pan, and then you transfer the diced pieces onto a plate with a paper towel to drain the grease. So it's basically like you're cooking normal bacon, but you just diced all of it up. So regardless of if it's bacon or pancetta, you do the same thing. So you cut up all of your melons, and you can put them all inside of one big bowl. And you can either cut them up, or you can use a melon baller if you prefer, for more uniform sizes. And then you put them in a bowl and you drizzle some olive oil on top and some salt and pepper. And then you put that bowl into the fridge to cool, so that it's like a colder, fresher salad. So then once you put the bowl in the refrigerator to make it cold, when you plate, basically, all you have to do is put the arugula down on your plate first. And then after that, you put the fruit on top. And then you drizzle some of the extra juice, because what happens is the olive oil brings out the natural juices of the fruits that you're using. So you want to just put that all on top of the arugula, because it kind of creates its own dressing as well. And then once you're done with that, you just sprinkle a little bit of the pancetta or the bacon on top. And what happens is, like, that's your, so you're hitting a bunch of different flavor profiles on your palate. So you have, you know, the peppery arugula, which is your lettuce component. And then you have the fruit, which is obviously sweet and really juicy and really good. And then you have the salty side with the bacon and the pancetta, depending on which you use. Either one is just as salty, I imagine. So, yeah, that's we are going to take a quick break. So we'll be right back with more Tasty Time, pairing your food with your mood. Up next, we'll be talking about food substitutions when cooking. And I'm DJ Jazzy J, and you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
What you came for? Don't you wish you came more? Girl, what you playing for? Come on, let me kiss that. Ooh, I know you missed that. What's wrong? Let me fix that. Twist that. Baby, tonight's the night I let you know. Baby, tonight's the night we lose control.
ice and love, baby.
Hey everyone, it's DJ Jazzy J, and we're back with more Tasty Time, pairing your food with your mood here on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So now we're going to talk about, so we just finished a segment on two of my favorite really easy recipes, and now we're going to talk about food substitutions. So a lot of the times, people are like gluten-free, or they have allergies, or sometimes they just don't have all of the ingredients to make what they want in the kitchen, and they're too lazy, or they don't have the time to go out and get the exact ingredients that the recipes call for, if you use recipes. Because a lot of the times I like to make my own stuff, but sometimes I use my own recipes, and in this case, I have, this segment's called This for That, and I have the original ingredients versus the substitutes. So we're just going to go down, we're just going to talk about a couple of the substitutes. So in a recipe, if it calls for baking powder, like a tablespoon of baking powder, you can substitute it with cream of tartar and baking soda. So those two together will make baking powder essentially okay for your recipe. So the next one is breadcrumbs, the dry breadcrumbs. You know, you can get them in like the little can. So if you don't have breadcrumbs, you can use rolled oats or crushed bran cereal. So either one is relatively good enough to use. And I don't think you're sacrificing any kind of flavor when you use the substitutes. So I think it's okay to just, you know, use these substitutes in place of what their original ingredient was. So the next one's buttermilk. So you can kind of do one of three things. You can mix milk and vinegar, milk or lemon juice, or you can use yogurt. So it kind of just depends on what you want to do. So the next one is Cajun seasoning. So you can make your own Cajun seasoning, and all these ingredients combined makes your own. So cayenne pepper, dried thyme, dried basil, and minced garlic. So it's just a bunch of seasonings combined is kind of what Cajun seasoning is originally. So chocolate, the semi-sweet kind, you can use unsweetened chocolate and then 1 tablespoon of sugar. Or you could use semi-sweet chocolate chips, either one. Because, you know, the original ingredient is like a giant bar of chocolate, like baking chocolate kind of thing. So if you just want regular chocolate, you can mix baking cocoa and shortening, or you can do baking cocoa and vegetable oil, either one would work just fine. So the other one is cornstarch is a thickening agent. So in place of cornstarch, you can use all-purpose flour, which that as well, they're both like kind of powdery substances, so I don't think they sacrifice any kind of flavor. So the next one's corn syrup, like dark corn syrup. And you can use light corn syrup and molasses together if you don't have dark corn syrup, because sometimes recipes are relatively picky, and you might not have the specific ingredient that it calls for. So cracker crumbs, if it asks for cracker crumbs, you could just substitute some breadcrumbs, and they a lot of times have flavored breadcrumbs, but if you don't want flavored breadcrumbs, you can just buy the original dry. Then you have cream or half and half cream. You can make your own by melting a tablespoon of butter and whole milk. So both of those combined. So you melt the tablespoon of butter and then you put it in whole milk and like let it sit. And that's a pretty good substitute. So eggs. This is an interesting one. So mashed potatoes. So if you're baking and the recipe calls for eggs, and either you don't have eggs or you just prefer not to eat eggs or you don't want to cook with them, you can use mashed potatoes, pumpkin in a can, squash in a can, prunes that are pureed, potato starch, egg whites instead of the entire egg, or egg yolks instead of the white of the egg, Or you can use some kind of store-bought egg substitute. So just depending on what you want to do. So for flour cake, it's like the flour you put in cake. You just use all-purpose flour. So the self-rising flour, you can make your own as well. All-purpose flour plus baking powder plus salt and baking soda. That'll give you self-rising flour. Honey. So if you don't like honey or you don't want to use it or you don't have it, sugar and water is really easy to make because pretty much everyone has water, I hope. And you just get some sugar and you melt it down. Another one is lemon juice, and you can substitute that for apple cider vinegar. And that has some of the same acidity. And then lemon peel, you can use lemon extract because both have a lemon flavor. So meringue, you can use applesauce or prunes to make your meringue. And then milk, you can use evaporated milk plus water or water and non-fat dry milk. And then molasses, the substitute is honey. So these are just some interesting substitutions. I won't go through them all because there's a giant list. But if you did want to look at them for yourself, the website I used was 27 Beautiful Infographics that teach you how to cook. And it goes step by step and it shows you really cool visualizations of everything to substitute as well. And there are some other really cool things also that you could look on this website. There's the meat done hand test where you can test on your hand kind of the similar attributes of like what a process of cooking meat would be. There's how to substitute spices and how to use them correctly. So this is a really cool and easy tool to making your own or substituting certain things in recipes. And I know a lot of times, like, a lot of cooks or people who are just starting feel the need to follow recipes to the T. And I feel like cooking is very flexible as opposed to baking. It's a little different. Baking, you have to get the measurements correct. But cooking in general, I think, is very flexible and you're able to use different ingredients, and they won't necessarily substitute flavor in any kind of way. Maybe sometimes they'd add more, you know? So who knows? So I'm going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back with more Tasty Time with DJ Jazzy J. So stay tuned and hear a segment I'd like to call Food Reviews You Can Use. So you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
That it's all just out of reach. and the darkness is calling for one more kiss goodnight. Oh, the star you wished upon is falling
from the sky.
Like a
keep running, 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 running. Oh, why? like any true love. It drives you crazy, but you know you wouldn't change anything, anything, anything. Welcome to New York. It's been waiting for you. Welcome to New York. Welcome to New York. Welcome to New York. It's been waiting for you. Welcome to New York. Welcome to New York. It's a new soundtrack. I could dance with this beat. The lights are so bright, but they never blind me.
Welcome to New York.
New soundtrack. It's been waiting for you. Welcome to New York.
The lights are so bright, but they never blind me.
Welcome to New York.
So bright, they never blind me.
Welcome to New York. Welcome to New York.
All right, everyone, I'm back with Tasty Time. My name is DJ Jazzy J, and you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So before the break, I said that I was going to introduce another segment called Food Reviews You Can Use. And so basically this segment is going to be about certain places that I've been to that I would like to review, and I've had certain experiences with. And so I'm going to tell you about the most recent one that I had was at this ice cream parlor kind of near my school called Silberman's Ice Cream. It's in San Rafael. It's in Northgate 1. And I'd always seen it here, but I had never been. And last week I was like, you know what? I really want some ice cream. And I didn't want to go to any of the traditional ice cream places. And I remembered Silberman's. So I went out with my friends and I was like, you know what? Let's go to Silberman's. So we decided to go check out this ice cream parlor. And actually none of my friends had ever been there either. They had heard of it also. So it was the first time for all of us. So I walk in and it's, a really like quaint ice cream parlor. It's really cute. It's like very old fashioned, a very vintage, and I scanned the different ice cream flavors and everything like that. And I really love ice cream. That's one of my biggest weaknesses because I'm a big dessert person. So I scanned the different ice cream flavors. And, you know, my traditional ones are like mint chocolate chip and chocolate, any form of chocolate. and I saw one that caught my eye. And I know what this one looks like because not many places have it. It's bright pink and has little specks of red in it. And it's peppermint ice cream. It's my favorite ice cream in the entire world. So I freaked out when I saw that they had that ice cream. I was like, that's how you know this place is legit. And I was really excited about it. So I got peppermint ice cream and I had it in a little cup. And I was really excited. And it was so good that I ended up walking away with a quart of it to take back to my dorm room because I was so excited. And the staff there are very, very nice. There's an older gentleman who probably owns the place and a younger gentleman who was working the cash register. And they're all very, very nice. And I got the hand-packed quart of ice cream, which they hand pack that really, really well. So I got an entire quart of ice cream. And I'm still eating it. It's been like a week and I'm like still eating it because there's a lot of ice cream in there. But yeah, so I really liked that place. And you know, I can't finish this segment off without giving some love to a really good place downtown in San Rafael. I really like Crepe Vine. So for those of you who are in the Bay Area and who have been to San Rafael and have been to downtown and know what Crepe Vine is, way to go on your part. If you haven't, you better get your butt over there because it's really good. They have all kinds of different crepes and obviously because it's named Crepe Vine. But I've gotten their BLTs. I've gotten their sweet crepes. I've gotten their savory crepes. I took my family there for Easter and we ate there together and it was really, really good. And it's just a nice little like town restaurant that people can come to. And I know, like, I have a group of friends that goes there every Sunday, and they know them really well. And it's a very nice family atmosphere. So I really, really like Crepe Vine in San Rafael. So up next, I'm going to take a quick break again. But up next, I'm going to talk to you about how I kind of got my start in cooking and just everything related to food and kind of what that means to me. So stay tuned. This is Tasty Time, pairing your food with the mood. I'm DJ Jazzy J, and we'll be right back.
Lost me there in the open road, and I rode alongside. Keep the honey spread until something for me to break your bread, for me to take your wood. I had to steal. A good book, I can't put this deep in a sort of fairy tale with you. I could pick back up whenever I just imposters in this country now. So we go along and we said we'd fake it. Feel better with Oliver Stone till I almost smacked him soon right that night. I don't know what takes hold out there in the desert cold. These guys think they must try and just get over on us.
Just watch. Don't believe me. Just something. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. I said uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you suck, said and flown it. If you freak dead and own it. Don't brag about it, come show me. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you've succeeded and flown it.
Well, it's Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe it, just watch.
Everyone, we're back. This is Tasty Time with DJ Jazzy J, pairing your food with your mood here every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. So before the break, I said that I was going to introduce this segment that I'm talking to you about now, about kind of how I got started with cooking and my just love for food in general. So I come from a really Italian family, and I don't know, as Italians, and I mean, every culture has their own, like, way with food, but I was obsessed with food from a very young age, just because the things you can do to manipulate the food and things like that are just really fun, and I find it very enjoyable, and I just really like being able to, you know, manipulate the food the way I want to and kind of not stick to a recipe. And in my big Italian family, you know, we do a lot of parties and stuff like that. And I always find myself kind of from a very young age, like in the kitchen helping out, whether it was with my mom or my dad or my grandma or any of my aunts and uncles or anything like that. And you know, I really liked that atmosphere. Plus, I grew up really loving, like, adults, especially adults in my family, just kind of watching over their shoulder, like, you know, seeing what they're doing. And I think food is a universal language that we all need to get to know and love. And I have so many friends that are like, oh, I can't cook. And I'm like, I think you can. You just need to allow yourself to be able to. And not stick to a certain recipe or, you know, I just think that maybe they should broaden their horizons a little bit when it comes to food. I mean, I'm a college student, but I can't live on mac and cheese forever. But yeah, so like I said, from a very young age, I really identified with food and the culture around food, and it's a unifying factor with all kinds of culture, and I really like sitting down at a dinner table and talking to my family or other people and getting to know them over a plate of food. And it didn't matter what it was. It just mattered that I was in their company and we had a nice dish in front of us to eat, regardless of what it was. So some of my favorite recipes, as I mentioned earlier in this episode or this live tuning in, was the bruschetta that my family came up with, and also the fruit salad. And both of those things I make for parties a lot, family parties and things like that. And I actually started off with something very, very simple with food. And it wasn't even bruschetta and it wasn't fruit salad. It was salad in general. And I just found an easier way to make salad. You just put ingredients in it that you really love and you really find tasty, and when you put your heart into something that you really like, other people can see that, and then it makes it taste that much better, I think, anyway. But at a very young age, I just started to put things in salads that most people don't normally, you know, salads just like lettuce and some things thrown in it. But when you get down to it, you can add so many different ingredients that maybe you wouldn't normally put in salad. I know some people put like artichoke hearts in salad and stuff like that. And I think that's really cool. Just manipulating the foods to the way you like them and the way, and most of the time the way you like them, other people will at least give it a try. And I think that's really exciting because I don't cook for myself. Like I mean, I cook for myself when I'm like, you know, hungry, but I cook for the satisfaction of knowing that other people are going to enjoy my food. And like I said, like the same aspect of like sitting at the dinner table and, you know, just talking with family or friends, food is that one kind of thing that can, like, you know, add some spice, pun intended, to the conversation, I guess. And that's one thing that everyone has in common. I mean, everyone has to eat. And so being able to, like, break the ice with talk about food, no matter where you are from in the world or what kind of recipes you make or your friends make or anything like that, I think that's something that's really interesting that I've learned in my life, is to just, when I meet new people, not instantaneously, but within conversation, the first one of meeting them, I talk about food, just because I think you can learn a lot about the person depending on what they like to eat and that kind of stuff. So yeah. And I also think that, you know, growing up in the kitchen, it was always like my safe place. It was always somewhere I went where, I wasn't going to be judged or anything like that. Or I mean, it was someplace in my life where I could kind of ignore the world and listen to some music while also making something for myself or my family to eat, or my friends even, whether that's like a really easy snack or, you know, a really decadent meal of some sort. But I've always really liked to be in the kitchen. It was always like a very calming space for me, and it's less stressful also. So that's just a little bit about, you know, my background, I guess, quote unquote, with food. I also worked for a company that dealt with knives. And so, like, you know, selling knives to people, I guess. And although that was an interesting industry to be in job wise, I really, really liked it because it made other people realize when I went on appointments and stuff that the things that you're cutting, your food, like, your food is precious, and it's something that should be treasured, and it's something that you're going to put in your body. And, you know, over the years, like, people have, you know, talked about, like, gluten or, you know, like, health foods and things like that. And I think that's all fine and dandy, but what it really comes down to is, like, good ingredients that taste good and make people, feel like they've accomplished something in the kitchen. So yeah, that's just a little bit about what I think about food in general. So when I started this episode, I talked about the question of the day. So every week there's going to be a question of the day. So this week's question, I'll repeat it, was: the skim milk cheese dates back to at least the 13th century and may even date back to the 11th century. It is made only from April 1st through November 11th each year with milk from cows that have been feeding on fresh pasture. Most of the cream is skimmed from the milk, which is then cooked in copper containers, pressed in cheese cloth lined molds, salted in brine, and then allowed to mature. Name this cheese. So I gave you an hour to think about the answer. The actual answer is Parmigiano Reggiano from Italy's Parma region, the highest quality and original Parmesan cheese. So everyone, that's it for my show today. Don't forget to tune in next week. And thank you for the listeners that have been tuning in today. Once again, this is Tasty Time, pairing your food with your mood with DJ Jazzy J. I'll be here next week on Thursday from 4 to 5. Thank you for listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.